Well, Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we just thank you that we have authority and that we can pray against any kind of attacks that's coming against us in Jesus' name. And Lord, I just ask and pray that you teach us this warfare that you have us in, and put us on that road of putting on the armor of God. And thanking you for it, Lord, and being a part of this army that goes against the enemy. And Father, I just praise you for that. And I think tonight, Lord, that we're going to have an awesome time with you, Lord. And it's going to be a learning experience, and it's also going to be a praying experience. And Lord, we just praise you, and we glorify you, and we thank you for all that's going to be accomplished tonight in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Okay, to begin with, does anybody have any requests for prayers or would like to pray? All right. If I'm too quick, somebody jump in there. You know, you can jump in any time to pray for somebody or to have prayer. That's one of the benefits of this conference call. Anybody can come in at any time, have a testimony, a praise report, or anything like that. And be able to give it. We're not any kind of a set schedule or anything like that. It's for y'all. And I know that we begin every time in case there's any emergency prayers that need to be said. But we open all the time, the whole 2 hours, and sometimes later than that for prayer. So you can jump in any time when there's a prayer need or you need to pray. Having said that, I know some more people just came in. Is anybody needing to pray or to have prayer? Well, all right. What about testimonies, praise reports?
Hey, Michael.
Hey, Jackie.
I just want to praise the Father for healing my dog. It was on Saturday, maybe? Saturday or Sunday, I forget now. I think maybe Sunday. He just got real sick suddenly. I was out during the day. It was on Saturday, and when I came home, I gave him a treat, and he seemed fine. And after a while, we went for a walk, and like we usually do, and he got real sluggish, and he just laid down. And some people I was walking with commented, you know, that he didn't look well, and I just rebuked it and didn't receive it. And I walked him around again and came home, and then I left for a little bit and came back home, and then he got really, really sick. Some kind of attack came over him, so I prayed over him. And he seemed like he was getting worse. So then I called for prayer, and I had asked some brethren to agree with me in prayer and pray for him. And he kept seeming like he was getting worse. So I started to get nervous, and I started to get, anxious. And I kept praying, and I was looking at him by sight and not by faith. So I kept praying in the Spirit, and I kept asking the Father to grant me grace to endure the trial and to have mercy on him, because he was suffering a lot. And after I received some more encouragement through a text from a brother, you know, that he was healed and that we were believing, and I prayed to the Lord, and I said, Lord, your word says that, you know, you're made powerful in my weakness, and I couldn't be any more weak right now because he can't communicate to me and tell me what's wrong. It's not like I can do anything for him. I can't explain anything to him because he can't understand, and I can't understand him. So I said, I'm just weak, Lord. And I said, I'm just going to believe and trust you. And I laid down, and I got the best night's sleep that night. I just fell into this deep supernatural sleep, which is not common for me. So I just praise the Lord. And when I got up a couple times through the night, I checked on him, and he would keep having these episodes of sickness. He was just tormented. He kept turning in circles and digging at the carpet and panting, and he would lay down for a second and get right back up and turn and lay down and up and down for like hours, or it seemed like it tapered off when I would wake up at night, but then sometimes he was just lethargic laying there and I would have to go over and actually look to see if he was breathing. And then I would cast it down and I said, no, Lord, I'm just trusting you. And I went back to sleep. And when I woke up in the morning, he seemed a little bit better. He was sluggish until somebody knocked on my door. And he started wolfing and barking and ran to the door to protect like he's created to do. And he seemed like he was fine. And I started feeding him and he seemed like he perked up. And then yesterday he was a little bit iffy on and off, and I kept telling him, you know, no, don't act like that. You're healed. You know, the Lord's healed you. We're not receiving this. And I kept believing, and I know the brethren were standing with me, and I thank everybody that prayed and believed with me. And today he's perfectly fine. He's back to bumming food and running around, and he's just happy. And I just praise God because he's an awesome companion, and I just praise him that he has mercy even on our pets, on our animals, that he just cares about my heart and my desires and my every need. And I just praise him and thank him for his mercy and his grace and his love and his compassion and for healing my dog. So thank you, Father. Amen. Be awesome.
Amen. Spot's already healed, huh?
Spot is healed,
praise
brother.
Yeah. Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Amen.
Praise
thank
God.
It was awesome because I didn't think he was going to make it, to be honest. But, you know, once I quit not looking by sight and kept believing by faith, I got into the rest, and it was awesome.
Thank you, Lord. Amen. That's a great way to be. It's a great place to be.
Yeah, amen. I could just stay there.
Well, you can.
I am.
You can. Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, brother.
All right. Anybody else? Testimony, praise report, prayer, anything. Sharon, anything you want.
Hey, Michael.
Hey, Charlie.
Yeah, I'd like to share a praise report if I could.
Well, yes, sir. Go right ahead.
Early this morning, probably about 12:33, we heard a boom, a great noise, and it woke me up, Linda up. It woke everybody up around here, you know. And you know, I didn't know what had happened. It sounded like a train. It had a head-on collision, you know. And so we got up and was looking around to see what happened, you know, and we didn't see anything, didn't hear anything. So we went on back to bed. And so when we got up this morning, while our water pressure was down and the water was off, so we had no water. And I thought, well, what is all of this, you know? And so about that time, Brother David called and talked with us a few minutes and everything. And so he wanted to know, was we doing all right? And I said, yeah, we're doing fine. So I said, our water pressure is down. And I said, other than that, and I explained to him about the loud boom that we heard early that morning, you know, and I was asking him, had he heard anything back over in your direction? And he said, no, they hadn't heard anything. So he was telling me some dreams that a sister had, you know, that we need to start commanding the angels against different things, attacks of the enemy and all of that, and taking authority over fascist spirits and all this. And so he spoke with me a few minutes. So when he got done, well, we hung up. And I sat down in a chair for a moment. I said, Lord, you know, I don't know anything about fixing this water or making it come on. I don't know what made it go off. I don't know what made the pressure drop. I don't know anything about it. So I'm commanding one of your angels to get down here and get busy and get my water back on because I need it. And so all about 5 minutes later, I walked over there and took me a little flashlight, and I'm gonna check it out, you know, and I want to make sure, yeah, the level, you know, the water level is way down. And I thought, wow, what's wrong with this thing, you know? And I'm just over, you know, tinkering around with it, and I raised the, when I raised the the water pressure lever up. Well, I pulled it up and then I dropped it back down and nothing happened. I said, well, Lord, it's in your hands. And I didn't no more say that until the water pressure jumped clean up to the top where it ought to be and the water started coming through the lines. And I just praised the Lord for that. And I know it was him. And I think it was a trial, just like Linda said. I said, you know, we were going through a little trial there. And so I just thank the Lord for coming through for us and sending an angel to help us out. And then yesterday afternoon, I got one more. Yesterday afternoon, while Linda and the puppy dog were getting ready to go out on the road for a little walk. And so when she got out there, she hollered at me and said, there's a snake in the driveway. So I said, okay, just a minute. So I got me a shovel, and I was going to go out there and kill it. And so when I got out there, it was a big diamondback. And I said, whoa, you know. And so I thought, I just had this feeling, you know, don't kill it, just get rid of it. Because every spring we pray over the property that we don't allow any kind of critters to come or trespass coming through here. They've got to go out and around some other way, but they can't come across the property line. And so I had my shovel, and so I laid my shovel down. I told Linda, I said, I'm going to see if I can't scoop it up, and I'll just throw it out of here. And every time I laid my shovel down, it would turn its body, turn its head, and go another direction. And I was out there, you know, trying to get this snake in the shovel, and it wouldn't go. And something told me, said, well, just go ahead and kill it. And I said, no, I don't want to kill it. So I told Linda, I said, I'm just going to lay the shovel here. And so I put the shovel probably about 3 inches in front of its head, and I said, get in that shovel, you devil. And believe it or not, that snake, man, he crawled right up in the middle of my shovel, and I picked him up just like a dead stick, and I throwed him across the road, and he just took off a flying, Brother Hare. And I was out there, and Linda was just praising the Lord for getting the critter off the prophet, too. Amen. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Was that a big snake, Charlie?
Oh, yes, sir. Yeah, it's pretty good size. I guess it's about 4 foot long.
Well, good gracious, man. That's good eating. That's good eating, man. Yeah, they'd been in the pot. You ever had any rattlesnake?
No, I didn't want that one either.
Okay. Well, they taste like kind of like frog legs. I like them a little bit better. Yeah, it's good eating. Well, all right. That's a good testimony. Thank you, Charlie. All right. Anybody else?
You got to command those serpents.
Amen. Command them in the pot.
The Lord gave us authority over serpents and scorpions, right?
That's right. That's right, brother. That's right. Amen. I had a friend of mine killed one time. It was, 5 feet 11 and a half inches long. And it filled up a 5-gallon bucket. It had 13 buttons on it. And boy, he was good too, man. I skinned him up and cut him up into steaks and fried him up. Boy, he was good. Thank you, Lord. All right, anybody else? I know some of you out there don't believe I did that. I did too. It was good too.
I believe it, and you know what? I'm believing for other food during the tribulation in Jesus' name.
Amen. That's right, Chad. Thank you, Lord. All right. Anybody else?
Yeah, I'm in agreement with you, Chad. And you know what, Charlie? That is so cool. You told that thing to get in the shovel, and it did. That is so cool. Amen.
Amen. It sure is. That reminds me of when David told that cockroach to come out and get in front of him where he could step on him. That cockroach just come right out there and got right in front of him. He stepped on it. We have that authority. Praise God. Yes, Lord.
That'll work for lobster as well, yes?
Well, yeah, if you believe. It will. That'd be nice. Jump out of that water there and jump in my boat. Yep, I suppose so. Nowadays, lobster might be glowing a little bit.
Yeah, with the West Coast variety.
Yeah. All right. Anybody else got anything they'd like to share? Well, all right. I did want to tell everybody that the UBM and the greater UBM are under attack by which, well, actually, I believe it's all over the world. The chosen people of God are under attack by the enemy. And I'm going to read a dream here that Sandy had on the 29th. And it says, she called it the web. In a dream in which looked like I was inside of the middle of a big barn on top of two big dark brown posts of rough-looking wood, there was a beam that went across them. The hayloft was on top of the beam. On the right, way in the corner, was a ladder to climb up to the loft. But what caught my attention was a black widow spider. In the left corner, where the beam and the post came together, the spider was forming its sticky web, and I stood and watched it making its web. And immediately when it was done, it had caught a housefly. And when the fly died, it took it to the left corner of the web. Then the spider went to the right-hand corner and waited for another insect. Soon came a very small fruit fly and got caught. The spider repeated the same process. After the spider left it in the left-hand corner, it went back to the right and waited again. This time, the insect was a mosquito, and the process was repeated. Then the spider went back to the right corner and waited. Now, it was a pretty butterfly, of white, blue, and yellow. The butterfly was trying hard not to get caught, but it was. But what the spider did differently was to spit and spin as fast as it could so that the butterfly was completely wrapped. It did not move. And as I am waking up, I hear, beware. And I say it again, as I'm waking up, I hear, beware. As the saying goes, oh, what a tangled web we weave when at first we practice to deceive. The word web made me ask these questions below. And the first question was, who or what is the spider? And she got 1 Chronicles 9:31. And Mattathiah, one of the Levites, who was the firstborn of Shallum the Korite, had the office of trust over the things that were baked in pans. And my finger went on, who was the firstborn? Well, you know who the firstborn was. That's a carnal man. 2 Chronicles 7:19-22, same question. Who or what is the spider? But if you turn away and forsake my statutes and my commandments, which I have set before you, and shall go and serve other gods and worship them, then will I pluck them up by the roots out of my land, which I have given them. And this house, which I have hallowed for my name, will I cast out of my sight. And I will make it a proverb and a byword among all peoples. And this house, which is so high, everyone that passes by it shall be astonished and shall say, why hath the Lord done this unto this land and to this house? Verse 22, and they shall answer, because they forsook the Lord, the God of their fathers, who brought them forth out of the land of Egypt. and laid hold on other gods, and worshipped them, and served them. Therefore hath he brought all this evil upon them. And then she asks, who is the butterfly? Psalms 44 and 17 is what she got. All this is come upon us, yet have we not forgotten thee, neither have we dealt falsely in thy covenant, Ezekiel 12 and 19. And say unto the people of the land, thus saith the Lord God concerning the inhabitants of Jerusalem and the land of Israel. They shall eat their bread with fearfulness and drink their water in dismay, that her land may be desolate and despoiled of all that is therein, because of the violence of all them that dwell therein. And then she asked a word for the whole dream, and she got Psalms 145, 14 through 21. The Lord upholdeth all that fall, and raiseth up all those that are bowed down. The eyes of all wait for thee, and thou givest them their food in due season. Thou openest thy hand, and satisfiest the desires of every living thing. The Lord is righteous in all his ways, and gracious in all his works. The Lord is nigh unto all them that call upon him. To all that call upon him in truth, he will fulfill the desire of them that fear him. He also will hear their cry and will save them. The Lord preserveth all them that love him, but all the wicked will he destroy. My mouth shall speak the praise of the Lord, and let all flesh bless his holy name forever and ever. And she says, my finger went on verse 15, due season. In these verses, the word all is mentioned 10 times. Then it says, she asked, do we need to be concerned with the powers that be? And she got Mark 14 and 15. And he will himself show you a large upper room furnished and ready, and there make ready for us. Praise God. And then she asked this question, is the spider representing people in local or greater UBM? Ezekiel 11:21. But as for them whose heart walketh after the heart of their detestable things and their abominations, I will bring their way upon their own heads, saith the Lord God. And what all this means is we're under a witchcraft attack. Hang on. Here and even out in the outer UBM as well. And we believe it's coming from the factious people, actually coming from the enemy. This is their last, we believe it's their last big ditch effort to take people out and divide UBM. And so it is necessary, and it is what's the word I'm looking for? It's not only necessary, it's really you need to do it. You have to do it. Put on your warfare clothes and go out there and start praying against witchcraft. And I'm going to pray a prayer here tonight, and y'all keep on praying it. You can pray in the spirit or whatever you like. But we're going to come against this witchcraft spirit that's come against outer UBM and also the local here. We've had already one instance of that happening, and we were able to, because of God's grace and his mercy, warned us about it. We were able to pray it down, and they have repented and come back in. So it's good to go ahead and pray against it before it happens. That way we can thwart the enemy's plans before he can ever get off the ground. And so let's just go ahead and pray, and y'all agree with me, and y'all continue to pray throughout this week. And Sandy had another dream where this witchcraft was happening, curses were happening, were thrown at us, but at the end we were walking down a dirt road with Jesus, which means that signifies the end. We're going back, we're going into the wilderness. This is the last ditch effort to get the bride off track and divided. So, but if we pray against it, God is so merciful and graceful. I'm telling you, he'll send those angels. We pray that God sends his angels out and to reverse the curses that are spoken against us. And we've had instances of a few of y'all have called and told us about witchcraft attacks. So it's something that's out there and here as well. And so we need to be very vigilant and persevering in our prayers against this thing. So, Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, I bind all principalities, powers of the air, wickedness in high places, thrones, dominions, world rulers, and strong men exerting their influence over UBM local and outreach too. And I forbid them to operate against us or against those out there in Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus, I bind and break witchcraft control, mind-binding spirits that block and or bind the will, mind control, destruction, fantasy, perversion, intimidation, rebellion, rejection, schizophrenia, paranoia, all of those things, anger, hatred, wrath, rage, resentment, faction, unforgiveness, slander, unteachableness, deception, doubt, unbelief, passivity, pride, and false humility. And in the name of Jesus, I bind and break the spirits of Ahab and Jezebel, fear, greed, addiction, drugs, alcohol, and any kind of compulsive behavior. And in the name of Jesus, I bind kings, princes, and world rulers for each spirit named. I strip each spirit in his hierarchy of power, armor, and rank and separate each from the other. I speak confusion to the ranks of the enemy and declare their assignments against UBM local and outreach to are hereby rendered null and void in Jesus' name. And in the name of Jesus, I bind and break all evil affecting the sense of sight, smell, taste, and touch, hearing, and all evil against the emotions in Jesus' name. And in the name of Jesus, I bind and break all evil in the systems of the body as well. And I thank you, Father, that you're doing this even as we speak right now. And in the name of Jesus, I bind and break any transference of spirits in family, friends, or associates of UBM in Jesus' name. With the sword of the Holy Spirit, I sever all evil soul ties between these negative persons and UBM. And I declare that the blood of Jesus covers all of UBM, local and out in the outreach. Mind, emotions, and will, preventing those soul ties from ever being reestablished. And in the name of Jesus, every spirit in this prayer is bound off each person prayed for, as well as for the person this prayer is also in effect for every person, every one of them with whom those praying and those prayed for have contact. And in the name of Jesus, spirits from the netherworld, spirits between, over, and around those praying and those prayed for, and all family spirits, familiar spirits, are completely bound and forbidden to manifest in the name of Jesus. And in the name of Jesus, I bind and I break the power of all curses spoken, all rituals, all divination spells, anything like that, all sorcery and magic in Jesus' name. And I release and call upon the Spirit of the Lord, the Spirit of wisdom, understanding, counsel, might, and knowledge, and the fear of the Lord upon the persons praying this prayer and the persons prayed for, along with spirits of mercy, grace, and peace. And in the name of Jesus, I place shields of faith over the minds of those persons to protect against infiltration from end-time mind control. Father, we just thank you so much that no weapon the enemy forms against us shall prosper, because we are covered by the blood of Jesus, and you have put all things under his feet. And because Christ dwells in us, we declare that greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. And we reverse the curses. We ask, Lord, that you send your angels out right now to every curse spoken against UBM people all over this world and here locally would be reversed in Jesus' name. And it would go back on the enemy and scatter them and confuse them in Jesus' name. And we thank you for it, Lord, in Jesus' name. Everybody agree?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Amen.
Praise you, Father.
Amen. Hey, Michael.
Amen. Hey.
Right before you were getting ready to pray, the Lord pressed Psalm 44 and 4 on me. So just in agreement with everything you just prayed, we just thank you, Father. It says, command deliverance, O Lord, for Jacob. Command deliverances, or another rendition can be command victory. So thank you for the victory, Father, in Jesus' name.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Anybody else?
Hey, Michael.
Hey.
Right before you prayed, I had a scripture to come to me, but I can't tell you right off where it's at. The scripture that came to me is, the spider builds her house in king's houses. So I think we need to be diligent about keeping the crevices and the corners of our house cleaned out. No spider webs here. Amen.
Amen. Yes, sir. All right, anyone else? That Psalm 44:4, Thou art my King, O God, command deliverance for Jacob. Is that
Michael,
one you had, Chad?
Yes, sir, that's it.
All right, praise God. Yeah, Jackie?
I'm sorry. Right before the conference call, about 10 minutes before, the Lord had me pray against witchcraft in the spirit.
Praise God. Praise God.
Amen.
Amen. It is happening. It's a real thing. It's just David had talked about it before, about the great northern army that was coming against God's people. And we believe this is that attack now, that last-ditch effort to divide UBM. Well, actually, all of the true chosen of God, the bride in this last day, this is their last-ditch effort to try to cause division. Ain't going to fail. We've already read the end of the book. They're going to fail in Jesus' name. We've already prayed the prayer of faith. Y'all are going to keep on praying in the Spirit, and we're going to see this thing come to an end quickly. And then we're going to be walking down that road with Jesus. Praise God. I'm looking forward to that. Thank you, Lord. All right, anybody else? Has anybody been experiencing any witchcraft against them? Yeah, Marlon. No, I can't. You sound like you're in the bottom of a 55-gallon barrel drum of water. Yeah, it's pretty bad. I can't understand what you're saying. You know, when you pray, I give you a little hint here. Something we found out. Fasting gives you a powerful key to answered prayer. Fasting does. And I picked up a book the other day. It's called The Fasting Prayer by Franklin Hall. It's an old book. I think it was written somewhere around 1947. And then it was last edition was 1967. But he talks about fasting and gives it's a whole book on it, and he gives testimonies about people who fasted for lengths of time and what happened to them. And I just want to go over some of these things. What he says, solemn fasting. Let's see. Let me turn that light on. It says, solemn fastings are in their times and seasons to be used in a holy and religious manner. This makes religious fasting one of the duties required in the second commandment and ordains a fast in congregation before an ordination. That was from the Westminster Confession. Regardless of what the mountain or obstacle is that is in front of us, if our motive is right and prayer fails, it is because there's not enough faith. And what will give that faith? Jesus gives the simple formula for producing the faith, prayer and fasting. And of course, we also know that renewing our mind with the Word of God does that as well. And also speaking in tongues in our prayer closet. But fasting gets rid of the flesh and allows our spirit to come out, doesn't it? In other words, that which does not respond to our wishes and desires must respond to one who believes properly. To believe properly for the work to be accomplished, one has to go to work to build that faith, although the faith builder is so simple. And this will bring the answer to any unanswered prayer that will glorify God and exalt Jesus Christ. And many actually overlook and pass by this formula. And it is strange that the small and seemingly unimportant little things that a child could understand are the hardest to accept. Jesus Christ had fasted 40 days and nights. Therefore, unlimited faith, the product of the very thing that he was trying to impress upon his disciples, was available to him. It was this faith for his humanity side of his being that Jesus obtained by fasting and prayer. Among ancient peoples, the abstinence from food was regarded as a means of purifying both spirit and body. And the fact was recognized that food abstention brought men closer to the spirit realm than any other process, as well as making for greatly increased physical vitality. And then he goes on, he talks about what fast has cured in the past, just from the, not from Christian standpoint, but from a secular standpoint, that it has cured smallpox. It says that it is certainly an eminently rational expedient to relieve the organisms of a virus by a continuous and gradual process of molecular destruction and a renewal of the anatomical parts. And that's talking about fasting to do that. And he talks about another blood disease. He says, we are very much in need of everything that can be brought about by fasting. Let us not be satisfied with less than the fasting reward that our Father will give us openly. We should not be any more neglectful of this opportunity of praising and honoring Jesus than any other. He says, the Protestants should be ashamed of their neglect of this vital foundational truth of the Christian religion. The most ignorant, superstitious Mohammedans and Roman Catholics are more faithful in their practice of this sacred duty than many anti-fasting Protestants. And he goes on and talks about that. I wanted to kind of get over here. Isaiah 58:8, it says, then shall thy light break forth as the morning, and thine health shall spring forth speedily, and thy righteousness shall go before thee. The glory of the Lord shall be thy reward. Unspeakable glory comes after the fast. Verse 9 continues with the great fasting reward. Then shalt thou call, and the Lord shall answer, and thou shalt cry, and he shall say, here I am. If thou shalt take away from the midst of thee the yoke, the putting forth of the finger, and speaking vanity. I'm going to have to do something with this headset. It's fixing to go dead on me. Hey, Tim. Tim Conway.
Yes, sir.
Take over for a few minutes. I got to run downstairs and get my other headset.
There we go. All right. Now that he's getting his headset put together. All right, does anybody have anything they'd like to testimony share or anything to share right now? Anything that's on their heart? Well, I'll share a little. I talked to Garrett today, and I asked him if he would come on Thursday, and he said he would. So he's gonna come on and share a little bit as far as just testimony as far as with Jimmy and what's going on and stuff like that. But he's got last time we prayed, Jimmy was gaining a had a lot of water weight, and they're really concerned about it. And Garrett had called up, and we had prayed, you know, against the water weight, and he said he lost all the water weight. You know, lost I think like 50 pounds of water weight, which is awesome. So he said that you know, he's going to come on Thursday and kind of share a little bit. So we'll be looking forward to that. So, all right, anybody got a thought or anything on their mind?
I do.
Okay.
Hi, can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you.
I just want to know, how can you tell, like, if you have witchcraft spirits coming at you? Like, how do you really know?
Well, I know with me, it's, you know, witchcraft is a lot of mind control, you know, just coming, you know, just not getting your thoughts together as far as that. And, you know, just feeling under attack. I don't know, does anybody else, Chad, or any feedback?
I think I can, then I guess, yeah, I've been under attack then. Yeah. Yeah, I was trying to put everything together, but didn't know how to even put everything together. Just, yeah, a lot of stuff coming at my mind and different things and pulling me out of the rest and I guess confusion too, because I had to throw down confusion and being distracted and things like that.
Yeah, I mean, we've been in situations where we've been, you know, kind of praying against the flesh and, you know, just trying to die to the flesh and that, and you just kind of keep going through things and that. And, you know, you're dealing with the same things over and over again, and you're getting attacked in the mind. And, you know, I've found that that's, you know, that's a, you know, an indication as far as of witchcraft.
How about physical, too? I mean, because, like, right now, like, I'm experiencing a pinched nerve, I guess, in my neck, and it's, like, really going all the way down my arm. And, you know, I can't explain it. I don't know. I don't know how to explain it, but it's painful at times, and the Lord subsided it for me a couple times, but it like keeps attacking me.
Right.
But I've already checked my heart and had about, you know, if anything the Lord was showing me, and that was another thing too. I wasn't getting anything. Like He wasn't showing me anything, you know, like unforgiveness and anything willful. I wasn't getting anything like that, and but I couldn't understand why it kept coming and attacking me. So I don't know, could that be witchcraft?
Great, I got to get Michael. You're buzzing real loud when you come on.
That's the siren going off, man.
Oh.
Okay, let's see. Let me try to unmute him again. Yeah, he's having trouble with his headset. All right, so there was a little distraction. What was the question?
About the witchcraft.
Far as with the pinched nerve or something?
Physical, can that be like witchcraft?
Yeah, because witchcraft is somebody speaking curses, you know, against you. As far as that, and it can't be physical.
Okay. All right. Thanks.
So do you need prayer for that?
Yes, of course. I can always use prayer, sure.
All right, so Father, right now, we just come against that pinched neck, and we just speak to that neck right now in the name of Jesus, and we command that pain to go. We just break
nerve.
Okay, we command that nerve to relax in the name of Jesus. And we command that pain off of that nerve right now in the name of Jesus. We command everything to be relaxed and restored in the name of Jesus. Pain go in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you.
Certainly. All right, anybody else?
Yeah, hey, Tim, I got some thoughts I can feel the Lord is impressing me to share about that.
Okay, go ahead.
You know what you were asking there about how can you tell if you're under attack of witchcraft? You know, some things that that the Lord has been making me aware of is when your mind is flooded with thoughts, like things that you have, you know, long since turned away from, and there aren't any open doors in your life at all that you know of. I mean, you're seeking the Lord, you've been praying, even fasting and praying, and the Lord's not revealing any willful sin or anything like that. And these thoughts will just flood your mind and trying to cause confusion. And I mean, they'll just seem like they'll just be really magnified. I've noticed that lately. And then also an attack on your feelings, your emotions, which can affect you physically. Like, for example, the Lord had me sitting in, I was sitting somewhere the other day, and I was just praying. I went in there to get some coffee, and there was a song that was played on the, you know, the sound system there from a band that I used to really be into, a very demonic rock band. And, you know, I hadn't listened to them for a long time. I'd really separated myself from this stuff a long time ago. And I remember towards the end, and I was guarding myself the whole time because this was a great weakness of mine in the past. In fact, the Lord told me, just if this, you even so much as hear a song come on the radio, stay away from it. And, you know, treat it like the plague, because it was a, you know, for a long time it was a great weakness to me. Well, it wasn't really bothering me this time, and I was praising the Lord for that. But I noticed towards the end of the song, as I was, you know, it was kind of hard not to listen to it because it was kind of loud. And I didn't feel to get up and get out of there either, or I certainly would have. I felt this tingling sensation come all over my body. But I just rebuked it, and I didn't receive it, and I just praised the Lord. I went on, and I didn't even really think about it that much afterward. Actually, I did. I kind of pondered it, but I should say it didn't drag me down like it used to, you know, like, oh, I guess I'm not that far along, or, man, I thought I was a lot further along than that, but... No, it didn't do that, so I praise the Lord. I didn't get, you know, beat down with condemnation and stew over it for a couple of days like I used to, but I am learning to be mindful and thoughtful of, you know, the things going on around me, and so I just didn't receive it, but yet I've noticed this, I've noticed this in a few other areas too, where I haven't been, opening the door to anything at all, in the least bit, and I've been seeking the Lord with all my heart, really crying out to Him. And so, anyway, He impressed me to fast for the last couple days. And actually, it was yesterday and the day before. And then He had me break it last night. And I just noticed, like, last night, I noticed as I was out and about, I felt like I was just a lot further removed from the world. I didn't have those same kind of feelings and sensations, because it was really starting to attack me quite a bit. And then the Lord just impressed me to you know, fast, and I did as He led me to, and I really felt stuff break. I also noticed my old man was really screaming at me, trying to drag me down and get me thinking I was not delivered and have been set free like I know the Lord has, and I just cast down the thoughts. The Lord gave me the grace to cast down the thoughts and to not receive it, but at the same time I've noticed the attacks have been magnified. So I really appreciate what Michael Hare and others have brought up here about this, because yeah, it's in the dream that the Lord gave the sister about the spider, because yeah, I definitely bear witness on that. And I've been praying for some that I've sensed there's a lot coming against him in the body here, and so, amen. But yeah, it can definitely be like the attacks can be magnified. They're magnified in the mind. It can be magnified on the senses. You know, like what I went, some of the stuff I went through. I noticed it really even so much as like tingling sensations or just fleshly sensations on my body, but it wasn't nothing that I was willfully opening myself up to, things that I had really felt a covering and protection from in the past. And so I've just sensed that the important thing is for me to be totally crucifying the old man, putting the flesh to death, as it's, you know, it's already finished. And I want the Lord to bring me to the place where Satan has nothing in me. And I'm realizing, and I'm learning to recognize, well, that's really where the battle mostly lies. You know, we need to do spiritual warfare against this witchcraft, against these things, but also against the, you know, that old nature. Because once it's crucified and we're walking in that, you know, there's nothing left for Satan there. So I can see that the Lord is ramping up the ante on that, so we can really get prepared here. So, I guess one of the things that's on my mind is just to concur with what Michael is sharing about fasting, that it's really, really important. And I had been in a season where I was fasting pretty regularly. You know, I did it as the Lord led, but I just noticed as I was suffering a lot in the flesh, I noticed a lot of victory in the spirit. Now, there was a time, I think it was last year, actually, where, it was maybe about a year ago, where I was getting attacked with, like, flu symptoms sometimes twice a day. Like, I would start to feel really, really weak, and I know what it feels like before I used to get the flu, you know, where I'd feel like I want to just lay down and just not do anything because I felt so weak, and I felt feverish, and the head would really be hurting, and just my whole body would be achy. And I just rebuked the symptoms. I was just like, I don't receive this. And every time it left, like either immediately or almost immediately. And I went through that for like maybe about a week, where I had probably about 3 or 4 attacks like that in a week. But it just wasn't allowed to stay. There was no room for it to land at the time, and the Lord was just reminding me that was when I was in a season of fasting regularly. So I've been getting the impression to go back into that. So just to agree with what's being shared here, and I hope maybe that helps a little bit. So praise the Lord for His goodness.
Yes, that does help. Thank you.
Well, I'm sorry that I had to get off and get back on. Can you hear me now, Tim?
Yeah. I mean, you sound a little muffled, but we can hear you pretty good.
Okay.
Before when you were coming in, there was like a real high-pitched whine or something. You sound good now.
Okay. Well, I couldn't hear anything. I couldn't hear y'all talking, so that's why I had to go back out and try to come back in. Okay, let's get back on this fast. Thank you, Chad. That was real great. I heard most of that, so that was good. Thank you. He says, your author, this is Franklin Hall, has been making personal observations and tests in regard to fasting for many years. It is indeed a hidden truth, yet it is at the very fingertips. Fasting is one of the foundation pillars of the Christian religion, an essential part of the very life of Christ. The men most highly developed spiritually on record in the Holy Word are those who had a great fasting experience with God. Fasting is mentioned in the Bible about one-third as often as prayer. We cannot therefore go on ignoring this great fundamental. I can tell you, I remember reading about A.A. Allen going into his prayer closet for a time, and the Lord appeared to him after, I don't know how many weeks it was, but he appeared unto him and gave him instructions and told him that he was giving him the gift of healing and the gift of faith and the gift of miracles, I believe it was. And that's what spearheaded his ministry. And William Branham was the same way. He often, during fasts, he would see the Lord come and talk to him, you know. And many others that had a wonderful ministry. After fasting, the Lord would anoint them, just like Jesus. He went into the desert, into the wilderness for 40 days. What happened after that? Well, his 3.5-year ministry of miracles and just absolute wonders, signs and wonders all of the time happened to him. That's what happened. Okay, let's get back to Franklin Hall. He said, I decided to preach and teach on the subject extensively and watch the results. I was in charge of the large revival auditorium in San Diego. Fasting was given a test there for many months. I wish to state that the word that contained fasting was taught many times, each time a different sermon, and it did not return unto us void. In the first 10 months of that year, we had someone fasting 10 days or more all the time. Many times as many as 50 would be fasting. Some would fast 2 weeks, some 3 weeks, some 28 days, some 33 days, some 35 days, 40 days, 42 days, 50 days, 62 days, and even up to 83 days. He said, yes, it was amazing. They fasted with, it was amazing. They fasted without liquid or solid food, only water. The pure type of the Holy Spirit was taken for the purpose of keeping the body clean. And I am happy to report tremendous results. In that year, we are grateful to Jesus for 1,000 sinners who came forward for salvation. Scores received the Holy Spirit. Many were healed. Yes, the ice was broken on fasting. In the name of Jesus, I command this nose to line up with the Word of God and quit sneezing. In Jesus' name. The ice was broken on fasting. It was broken to such an extent that the news spread up and down the West Coast. Many a minister and critic would ask me bluntly if anyone died or got hurt. The answer was quite to the contrary. Instead of going the certain way to the grave, the people who fasted received a renewal of their strength and health. Many said, I just began to live. Those who were ill when they fasted were healed at the end of their consecration fast. Some had as many as 5 physicians and were given up as hopeless with heart disorders, stomach ailments, ulcers, tumors, nervousness, and drug addiction. They gave up their physicians and came out of the fast perfectly whole. Thank the good Lord. One sister who had cancer of the liver and was given up by all the attending physicians lay in the hospital in a dying condition. A number at the church fasted for her. Instantly, the Lord healed in answer to fasting and prayer. A man about 50 fasted over 30 days and now looks 15 years younger. Praise God. A sister, Maud Austin, 65 years of age, fasted 33 days and a tumor came out of her. On the 34th day, the fast was broken. She said she felt like a young girl. Charles Allen of Escondido, California, fasted 18 days, was healed of rheumatism, indigestion, and stomach disorders. After the fast, he felt better than he had for 20 years. These are some of the answers for those who had never heard of people going on the consecration fast of 21 days in modern times, let alone 40 days and over 60 days. No one was hurt fasting. All were benefited, unless occasionally some person broke the fast improperly by overeating and giving way to appetite too soon. The wonder of it all was that in most cases the person fasting grew stronger day by day as the fast continued. Praise God. And that's kind of the way throughout this whole book it talks about people after a few days of fasting, after a week to 10 days, after the hunger would leave them after about 3 or 4 days. And some other things would leave them, and then they would start not feeling hungry again, but they would, after a certain period of time, I don't remember how many it was, maybe 20 days, 21 days or something like that, they'd start getting stronger. One man who was underweight, he was 29 pounds underweight for his body, fasted, lost poundage. I don't remember how many it was, but he lost poundage. But when he got off the fast, he felt better, and he gained weight, and he got 29. He got that he lost back, and also an additional 29 pounds that he needed to have to be normal. That's, you know, and it's cases and cases and cases of people being healed after they fasted. And the most amazing thing about the long fast, here's what he says about the fast. He said, let me look, see if I can find it here. I had it a while ago.
Hey, Michael.
Hey.
Hey, let me just share a little real quick testimony right in line with
sure,
what you're talking
yeah.
about. But that, when Charity and I were in Arkansas a few years ago, we were with some brethren there. Someone shared a testimony with us about a lady that had fourth stage cancer, and the Lord led her to fast just to have water and tomatoes, fresh garden tomatoes, for 80 days, and she was completely healed of that stage 4 cancer. Praise the Lord.
Praise God. Yeah, that's the testimony of a lot of these in here. People giving up for dead, the physician sending them home, and the Lord telling them to fast. And after a certain period of time, you know, there's a short fast that's anything 12 days and under, then a medium fast that goes up to, I think it's, it says in here, 30 days, I think, and then on up above that is a long fast.
Michael?
Hey.
Hi, good evening, Lewin. I, years ago, I had gone on a 40-day water fast, and a lot of strong warfare, but by the time it was finished, I had the finger of God touch me and explode in. After that, there were signs and wonders and miracles following with great revelations. Whatever was on me, it didn't stay on me after that fast was broken, and it was a great time of deliverance. And even if you cut it down to fruits and vegetables and, you know, offer that to the Lord, wherever your soul's getting afflicted, it really heightens your experience spiritually. You know, to even go to fruits and vegetables, but for more intense warfare, you know, definitely the water, you know, just wherever the soul's being afflicted, you can always tell when your soul's afflicted. Okay, that's what I want to say.
Amen. You sure can. Here's what he says. He says, a fast under 12 days is considered a short fast. A fast under 5 days is very short. A fast from 14 days to 21 days is a medium length fast. A fast from 21 to 40 days is a long fast. And a fast of 45 days to 60 days is a very long fast. Now, this author here, he doesn't recommend doing a water and food fast. He says, and now this was written 50 years ago, but I know of an instance of a Chinese guy that fasted from water and food for 100 days, and he's still going around evangelizing. 100 days when he was in prison, and he's still alive. God can keep you alive. If he says do a water and a food fast, go ahead and do it. It's not going to hurt you. I know David himself has gone for a while. I don't know. I don't remember how long he said for fasts without water or food. And I've done a 3 day is all I've ever done without water or food. And it's amazing what God will do during that period of time. He'll show you things. You're losing the flesh. You're humbling yourself to the Lord. And you're glorifying the Lord with that fast. It's not something to get something from God. It's to glorify God. That's what we fast for. It's to glorify God, to get rid of this flesh, this outer this outer flesh that hinders our walk with the Lord and hinders us walking in the Spirit so much. And it gets rid of the world, it gets rid of the flesh, and it puts you in tune with the Lord. That is, if you stay with the Word at that time and stay in prayer during that period of time, make it an absolute necessity to pray and to get in the Word during that time and seek the Lord during that time of fasting, and He will honor it, I guarantee you. But a lot of these people, they proclaim it the greatest experience of their lives after salvation and comparable only to the baptism of the Holy Spirit. He says it prepares the vessel in order that the Holy Spirit...
Are you...
I'm okay. Yeah, I had to sneeze. They said that it prepares the vessel in order that the Holy Spirit may work in a bigger way. It gets the power and gifts of the Holy Spirit to working. They say one has to experience it to know. Words cannot tell how glorious it is. It is not this what people said about the Holy Spirit when they were baptized a few years ago. There is more for us if we let the Holy Spirit work through a channel that is cleansed and prepared by fasting and prayer. Let us go after God's best in earnest and glorify God more. Try, taste, and see if it is not really worth the effort. Get the rest of Luke 24 and 49. And I'm telling you, through my years, I used to fast 3 to 4 days a week when I was out on the streets preparing to pray for people out on the streets. And I'm telling you something, when we did that, we did it for 8 months straight, going all over the South, all over Arkansas, Tennessee, Missouri, and praying for folks. And we'd pray, we'd fast for 3 to 4 days at a time, and then we'd go out on the streets, and God would honor that. And we saw miracle after miracle after miracle after miracle. God is so cool. When you give up and sacrifice for Him, He's going to back you up in everything you do. And I'm telling you, fasting with prayer is powerful. It is one of the it's more powerful than an atomic bomb. And that's the truth. That's the truth. When you fast and you pray, and you fast and you pray through for your family members or your friend or whatever it is that you need done, if you've got a problem with yourself, you fast and pray. I don't care if you're sick, you think you're sick, you have problems. I tell you what, you ask God if He wants you to fast, He'll tell you, and you go ahead and fast, and you pray, and you fast, and you pray, and God will heal you. I'm telling you, it don't make any difference what kind of a problem that you have. It makes no difference what mountain sitting up there in front of you. If you fast and pray, God's going to honor it. People, I've read of people that fasted for 40 and 60 days, and the things that the Lord showed them in the Spirit was astounding. God came down to some of them. Jesus came down and talked with some of them and told them what their ministry was and pointed them in the right direction. If you just seek God with fasting and prayer, listen, that's what's going to, this spiritual warfare that we're going through right now, the spiritual warfare that we're going through right now, if you do it with fasting and prayer, it'll be a quick thing, and we'll be walking down that dirt road with Jesus. I'm telling you, it'll happen. It'll happen. I know that we're going to encourage people to fast and pray during this time of spiritual warfare, and God's going to honor it, and it's going to be an awesome testimony to God's goodness to us, how short this little attack from the enemy is going to last. We've seen it happen time and time again right here. time and time again, God will give us the words, and he'll say, all right, you're fixing to get an attack from over here. You're getting one from over here. He said, y'all need to pray and get after the enemy. And David will call for a local fast, and I'm telling you, within just days, it would be thwarted. It would be stopped, if not within hours sometimes. And it's just awesome, awesome what God's doing for people who sacrifice their life, their flesh, to glorify God. You have something, David?
Are you talking to me, Michael?
I might have been you. Yeah, Michael, go ahead.
Well, I was just going to make a couple comments there, but I was going to say Brother Young's fast was for 74 days, I believe, and he was without food or water in prison. But anyway, the scripture that comes to me is when Jesus spake, moreover, when you fast, be not as the hypocrites of a sad countenance, for they disfigure their faces that they may appear unto men to fast. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou fastest, anoint thy face, and anoint thy head and wash thy face, that you appear not unto men, but to your Father, and your Father which seeth in secret shall reward you openly. I have seen very few people that fast and don't tell others about it. Maybe I shouldn't say that. The ones that are not doing it don't tell you. So, but you see, I see a lot of people who do speak about that, and it's critical that what we do before God. And I just was involved with a meeting with a group of brothers that are, I won't name their names. You would know their names. But anyway, these people right now are building something, and I got to see the how strong that thing is rooted in the nature of a man, the desire to be seen, to be somebody, to have your name known, and to be the thing. It's very dangerous, a very dangerous thing. You exalt yourself, God's going to abase you. But if you humble yourself, you know, he says God's going to reward you openly when what you do in your alms and your fasting and your prayer is in secret. It's not before everyone. And I believe with all my heart that God's looking for true hearts right now, and he doesn't play games. He doesn't have any. There's no guile. And the scripture that's just been speaking to my heart since this encounter with these, I was at a meeting where these men were, and it was very self-promotion, and it was grieving to the Holy Spirit of God. And the Lord kept speaking to my heart that scripture. I think it's in the 15th chapter of Jeremiah when it says, if you will take forth the precious from the vile, you will be my mouthpiece. Let them return to you, but don't you return to them. And have you ever seen, I'm sure some of you have, there's a tract that was out. Others may, but I may not. You know, what the Holy Spirit's constraint on each person is different. And the more your consecration, the more your separation unto the Lord, the more your heart is purified, the farther you go, there comes a greater price tag to walk the walk. And it's because you're, you know, what a young person or a child could get away with, God's requiring obedience. Temperance is one of the fruits of the Holy Spirit of God. And God's calling the people in this hour that are holy. And holy, the word actually means separate, separated. Separated from the world. Paul says this, he says, Timothy, the things you've heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ, and no man that warreth entangles himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. You know, there's a scripture in Ecclesiastes that says, I've seen a great evil under the sun, that God gives a man wealth, but doesn't give him power to partake of it. And there's a lot of people right now pumping on a treadmill, or busy, busy, busy. I hear this all the time. Busy, busy, busy. Too busy for God. Too busy to read the word. Too busy to... And you know what? They may have something on paper, but you know what? They have no time. And it's better to have right now. The one thing you don't get any more of in life is time. And I hear people all the time, well, when the kids get out of school, when I retire, I'm going to do this. And once the house is paid off, and we better take it today. And today's the day of salvation. Now is the accepted time. Today the Holy Ghost said, if you will hear my voice, harden not your heart. Wisdom cries daily in the gate. It says the heavens are declaring the glory of God. The firmament showeth his handiwork. Day into day is uttering speech. Night into night showing knowledge. There's a tremendous revelation right now going on. God is speaking right now. The Holy Ghost is dealing, and he's speaking, and he's no respecter of persons, and his eyes run to and fro throughout the whole earth, seeking to show himself strong on behalf of those whose hearts are perfect toward him. But the Lord is telling me right now, clear as a bell, you're going to have to take forth the precious from the vial. What others can get away with, you can't. It's not that I can't. It's like that scripture where Paul says, he says, all things are lawful unto me, but not all things are expedient. All things are lawful, but not all things are edifying. All things are lawful, but I will not be brought under the power of anything. Everything in this world has the power to take your affection, to take your time, to take your resource, and take you away from the living God. And right now, we're going to have to be like that one that says, if your eye be single, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye be evil, your whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in you be darkness, how great is that? That darkness, no man can serve two masters. He will either hate the one and love the other, hold the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. And God right now, there's a call going forth. And it has, the Spirit is saying that he that has ears to hear, let him hear. Not everybody can hear it. The word of God is heard on different levels. But there's that scripture that's fulfilled. He said, therefore I speak to them in parables, that they seeing see not, hearing they hear not, neither did they perceive. And in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, by hearing you shall hear and shall not understand, by seeing you see and not perceive. For the heart of this people is waxed gross, the ears are dull of hearing. The eyes have they closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes, hear with their ears, understand with their hearts, should be converted, and I should heal them. But blessed are your eyes, for they see. If right now you see, if you hear that voice of the Holy Spirit calling you to a deeper and a separate life, rejoice, because the many people, many, many people right now are too dull to hear anymore. They can't see, they can't hear. Maybe I believe with all my heart, this is something that came to me many years ago in my spirit, and I believe it's a true word. You can judge it yourself. But I believe we ourselves set the perimeters of the dealing of God in our own life by our cries to God and our hunger and desire for God. If you're in a place where you're happy to just go to sit in a meeting once a week in some religious situation, listen to some guy function, then you've got a different kind of dealings that are going to be coming to you. The devil won't even bother you very much. He'll just leave you night-night, give you a cookie and put you to sleep. But if you're in a place where you begin to cry out and fast and to seek God and to hunger and thirst and to plead for the things that are on God's heart, believe me, you're going to meet the enemy, and you're also going to meet the Lord in a powerful way. You need to be known in two places. It doesn't matter. I tell you, you don't need to be known in this earth, but be known in hell and be known in heaven. The sons of Sceva, when they were dealing with the demon-possessed man, the demon spoke out and said, well, Paul we know and Jesus we know. They were known in hell. And you need to be in that place where he says, I know you not, Jesus said to some, but those that he knows, known of God. Known of God and known of the devil. That's where you need to be known. Forget being known by men, because that's a snare right now. The fear of man brings a snare, and so does the praise of man. You've got to be very aware of that. I'm watching people who had the touch of God. The scripture says, buy the truth and sell it not. And there is a tremendous amount of entities and people trying to buy the truth from those that have it. The compromise is the word of the hour for this world. And for the church of this world, it's compromise. You know, and there's people, you know, we just don't draw such a hard line because it's not real popular. In a time when men cannot endure sound doctrine, will not endure, heap to themselves teachers after their own lust, having itching ears, and turn their ears away from the truth unto fables. You stand for the truth, you're not going to be popular. But I tell you what, if you want to be like the Lord Jesus, he wasn't popular either. He wasn't popular. No, when he stood at the cross, everybody had betrayed him. Everybody had forsaken him. Nobody wanted it. You know, Peter, who says, I've never denied. Brothers and sisters, I tell you what, you need to be able. It says, let us therefore, it says in Hebrews 13, let us go forth unto him outside the camp, bearing his reproach. For we here have no continuing city, but we seek one to come. And he says, if you be ashamed of me, and of my words before this adulterous and sinful generation, I'll be ashamed of you when you stand before the Father and the holy angels. But if you will confess me before men, I'll confess you before the Father and the holy angels. If you're ashamed of me and my words, brothers, this is a time we need to become well acquainted with reproach, well acquainted with being very unpopular with this world. But brethren, if we can have the testimony on that last day that we please God like Enoch did, if we can have a testimony that an abundant entrance into the eternal kingdom, if we can have the Lord God say, well done, good and faithful servant, enter into the joy of God, do we need what men has to say? I tell you what, brothers, Jesus, he said in the scripture, he said, that which is highly esteemed among men is an abomination in the sight of God. And I encourage you, brothers, do you hear the cry of the Holy Spirit calling you deeper? If you do, rejoice, because not everybody can hear that anymore. Not everybody wants to hear it. But it's only for those, it's reserved for those who have cried out for the things that are in God's heart, that have said, God, I want with all of my heart to be a vessel that can bring honor to your name, that can rightly represent you in this dark hour, that can be faithful unto death, Lord God. I want to be, Lord God, not lukewarm, but white hot. I want to be a vessel, Lord God, like you said, who make your ministers a flame of fire. This is the time, brothers and sisters, and the call of the Spirit is going forth right now. There's a cry. The Holy Spirit is speaking today. Day into day is uttering speech. Night into night showing knowledge. The creation is speaking. God's speaking everywhere around us. Wisdom is crying daily in the gates. There's a cry. Today the Holy Ghost said, can you hear his voice? The voice of the Spirit right now, separate yourself. Be holy unto me. Be ye holy, for I am holy. For if you call on the Father without respect of persons, judges every man according to his work. Pass the time of your sojourning here in fear. People get this image of Jesus, their little pink fingers and a little effeminate look on him. That's not who he is, I'm telling you what. John the Beloved fell at his feet like a dead man when he saw the Lord Jesus in a resurrected state. And this is the time. There's a call going forth right now. Will you be one of those who will separate yourself, who will be holy, who will take the precious from the vile that you might righteously represent God? And the cry, I said it last time I spoke, I'm going to say it again. This is the most important. This is a critical word. This is going to separate the men from the boys in this hour. It's not the man that commends himself that's approved. It's he whom God commands. And God is not commending an awful lot that's going on out there in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. But God is wanting to show himself strong and mighty on behalf of a people whose hearts are perfect toward him.
Amen. Thank you, Michael. Yes, this is the time right here. We're in the time right now where you need to get it right with the Lord. Hey, listen, also, I wanted to mention, some of you have joined us since I made this announcement. We're under, according to what the Lord has shown us, has been a lot of dreams, a lot of words spoken about this Northern Army, this last-ditch effort on the enemy's part to divide and to conquer UBM, and also the bride that's throughout the world. This is a worldwide attack. And we've already experienced it here. We're praying against it. And we prayed against it earlier here on the conference call. And I decided tonight to talk about fasting and praying simply to get everybody in the mode in spiritual warfare, because that's what we're in. You know, and God does the fighting for us. All we have to do is pray and believe. That's it. Just pray and believe, and pray in the Spirit. And when you pray in the Spirit, you know, God's mighty angel. You know, and our Lord also told us, said, tell me where you want me to send these angels to do stuff for, you know, us. And that's what happens. God does that for us. He does all the work. We just have to believe. Right?
You know, Michael?
Hello.
Michael, this is Linda.
Yeah.
I have this book in front of me. Franklin Hall, his writings are just tremendous and will help conform us to the image of Christ for sure. But this book I'm holding is Formula for Raising the Dead and the Baptism of Fire. He was, you know, really big into God abolish sin and death, spirit, soul, and body, you know. And I was just noticing this. I'm studying this right now. 100 reasons why the all-born man should not see death, which is something that, you know, what we're coming into, we need to know, fight for life, because he came, you know, he abolished death. And, of course, by the way, I wanted to ask you, what book, I have a library of his books, what book are you talking from on the fasting?
Well, I've looked at two of them. One of them is the fasting prayer.
And okay.
The other one is atomic prayer, something like that. Atomic power with God.
Okay, because I'm going to read that again. I'm going to look that up because.
He's very good in his fasting teachings, but he's got some errors in there, and you have to be very careful.
Oh, I know it. Yeah, I understand that. But at least he really reaches out. But
yeah.
We have to balance it, you know, with the Word of God that,
absolutely.
And so God helps us with this discernment. But this fasting is really encouraging me to, you know, you're stirring me up to do more. You know, I do some, but that this is good. I just appreciate your message tonight.
Amen. Yeah, it's
needed.
Hey, Michael,
that's the brother that I shared about that testimony from, right?
Absolutely. David had the book down there in his library, so.
I didn't know that. I'm still going to get it. I hope to get a couple of those books.
Yeah, you can. Actually, one of the books is online, that fasting, the power, the atomic power to something. What is it? I said it a while ago. The atomic power with God. That's online. You can download it online. But
oh, okay.
These other ones, you can find them on the web and buy them if you have to. I bet they're in the library.
Okay.
He printed millions of these things. Yeah.
He got off a little bit, but he has some good material.
Yeah, the earlier books are better.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Okay, he says after fasting, and this is a testimony from Thelma Brown from Anaheim, California. She says, after fasting for 12 days, God revealed himself to me in a glorious way, such as I had never witnessed before. I was praying in the Spirit when Jesus appeared to me. I saw the cross to my right and Jesus pleading with the saints to go to the ripened harvest fields, which appeared before me in every direction. And she says, an agonizing burden came upon me as I realized innumerable multitudes of people were dying without Christ because the saints no longer had a burden for the lost. The scriptures tell us the fields are white unto harvest, but the laborers are few. This scripture came upon me so forcibly, I tried to touch Christ, entreating him to send laborers. But my arms were paralyzed and would not move. The saints told me I was prophesying in the spirit. Hunger left me after the third day. The habit hunger left me a few days later. And on the 10th day of my fast, weakness left me. This fast was one of the biggest experiences of my life. I entreat all who read this testimony to fast and pray as never before that God will send laborers into his harvest. For truly, the harvest is great, but the laborers are few. Well, praise God. The Lord gave me a vision many years ago of a harvest field. It was a cotton field just as far as the eye could see. And the cotton was ready to harvest. It was ready to pick. And being a farm boy, I could tell immediately that all the leaves had gone off of it, and there was nothing shining but the cotton in the bowls. And he showed me that out in those fields were Roman Greco columns with a torch at the top of them, and it was burning. And I never did really know what those columns and that fire coming out of the top of them was until I met David, and he told me right away what it was. I had to ask preachers, and I had sought the Lord. And finally, David, I mean, just that quick, he said, well, that's the beast burning the flesh off the saints. Praise God. But I saw that, and I also had a vision of a combine with I was up in the combine, and it was ready to go, and there was a lady had a young child And I told her to hand that child up there to me, and he'd be safe. And I got him up in the cab of that combine. And I just believe that that was possibly the man child, you know, me helping the man child and getting ready for the harvest. You know, this thing that's coming upon us, this tribulation, we need to be ready. We need to be really ready. And fasting and prayer is the way to get ready. That and renewing your mind with the Word of God. And it's like Michael said, you don't have to tell everybody what you're doing. But if there's a corporate fast that's being called, yeah, go ahead and fast. Go ahead and fast. And you don't have to tell everybody around you. And if you're working, you know, fast when you can. But I'm telling you, these anywhere from 3 days to 1 day to 10 days, all the way up to ever high you can go. I would love to do a 40-day fast at some point in time. and hopefully here in the next little bit we can do that, or Michael, I can do that. Yes?
Michael, also, I'd like to, just because I want to encourage everybody that on that 40-day fast I did many years ago, I was also baptized with the Holy Spirit and fire. It was a strong time of purification where there was just a complete emptying out or relinquishment of, you know, all your rights. It was just whatever you can put in submission to the Lord, you just do it. You completely relinquish all of who you are over to the Lord's power. And that was when that fire hit and began to do a very strong work. But the Lord says, repent and be baptized. You know, so I think there's a sequence of things that we do. We first repent. We turn away from our own self-will and going our own way. We're no longer seeking our own will anymore, but we are in submission to the mind of the Lord. And His food is, you know, our food is to do His will now. This is why if you've got strong warfare going on, you can just rest. Because you're not eating off of the enemy's plate anymore. You're saying, Father, you know what? My food is to do thy will, so whatever you want to do, the kingdom comes in power. The rest is just the enemy talking smack, you know, and you'll notice that you can tell the difference, you know, because the enemy is always trying to stir the dirt up or the ground up, you know, to get you to always do and be and make you wonder, you know, is the Lord okay? Is the Lord not happy with me fully? Yeah, because we should be looking at the one that He sent. It's not about us anymore. We went down in the water. Our life has already been finished here. It's about Christ in us. It's about what He did. And now it's not about, you know, us. It's about His sowing and reaping process through us. It's about His works, and those works come in power. So I just, you know, if you want to die fast, just say, Father, my food is to do thy will. Your will comes in power. It's your power. It's your word working through me to do the works. And I'm just along for the ride. And in all you really need to do is just praise God. Because anything that's going on inside of you in the nature of warfare has already been accomplished on the cross. It's already done. It doesn't exist except for in your own vain imagination anyway. And if you feel the force of it, it's because you believe it's still alive. It's like smacking that bug, and just because its legs are still twitching, you think it's alive. You know, no, it's not. It's really dead. The only thing that's alive is, Father, what do you want to feed me in power today? You know, I also wanted to add the Lord gave me a spiritual dream not too long ago, so this is why I'm trying to confirm that there are some pretty strong things coming against the body. I saw, like, President Obama, and he was, like, in a trance, and he attempted to pick me up, and I caught the spirit in his eye, and I said, put me down, you know, you foul demon, put me down, and he put me down, you know, and then I told him to fall back immediately. I said, now go backwards in Jesus' name, and he did. So I think that right now that I'm not sure altogether what it represented. I just think that the Lord's been telling me to speak word perfect. If the Lord said it perfectly, then you must also say it perfectly. You are not to add any ands, ifs, or buts. If the Lord says you have a power that so mightily works through you, well, then you do. If the Lord says he loves you with an everlasting love, you can rest in it. You know, just everything. You really are what you eat, and that's why you want to eat and enter into the rest. Eat the absolution of God's promises to you where you are at Christ. If you believe you're at the right hand of God, then that's where you are. And if you're not rejoicing over that, it's because who told you you were naked? Who told you you weren't seated at the right hand of God? Who told you that you weren't alive and powerful in the name of Jesus? Who told you, you know, maybe the enemy got you to eat the lie, and now you have to pay a tax, and you have to, you know, suffer from the lie you just ate, and you're going to become a manifestation of that lie you just ate. So we better be careful. I think the Lord is tightening up the diet for us in the spirit, and we better go into word perfect right now. Enter into the rest. Be slow to speak. Be anxious for nothing. And live a life before the Lord in praise and worship for what he's already done. And this will in itself lighten everybody's load and cause us to ascend in praise and worship. The Lord's raising up an army of worshipers, and it's not in what we can do, that's for sure. It's what he's already done. I mean, unless you're in willful disobedience, you know, or sin. If you're not, then don't worry about it. Just let it fall off as you're praising the Lord. Break through all that nonsense that's going on in the carnal mind about how it's about you all of a sudden. No, it's not. No, it's not. Break through that thing with praise and worship. And the Lord's going to bear witness to that and cause you to overcome and conquer every time. Amen.
Amen. That's a good word. Yes, it is. This is the time right now to get rid of the flesh. Get rid of all those little things. I know here in this local assembly, he got rid of all the big stuff a while back. Now he's going in there getting rid of those little blemishes that we seem to want to carry around. And he's getting rid of them too. And people are praying and asking God to, Lord, show me anything that's in my heart that needs to be taken care of, repented of. And he's doing it, but you have to ask him, and he'll show you. And this is the time right now to do that. Also, spiritual warfare, go in there and fight for God's people all across this world. Call them the chosen of God and pray for them and be in battle with them, because they're in battle for you too. All of us are battling together. We're praying in spiritual warfare together. We've got intercessors out there that's been doing this for ages. And I praise God for them. And I just ask and exhort y'all all to get out your armor of God, put it on. Thank God for every little piece of it. Thank God for your helmet of salvation, your breastplate of righteousness, you know, all of that stuff. Thank God for it, and then go on and do it. Start praying against this enemy that's coming against God's people, and we're going to see a victory. I mean, it's inevitable. I want to give you the testimony of a Reverend Jimmy Willis. I don't know if you know who Reverend Jimmy Willis was. He was saved and healed miraculously from a wheelchair that he had been in for 5 years. He received the baptism of the Holy Ghost and fire. He said, "I have never been sick or tired since receiving the clothing of power." He said he received this book on fasting and fasted for 31 days. After these fasts, God gave him a powerful deliverance ministry. Evil spirits were cast out of folk. All manner of diseases were healed. And the Lord deeply anointed my life and ministry in a new, deep manner. Reverend Jimmy Willis, Hollywood and Broadway motion picture and TV star, former Kingfish of the Amos and Andy show, has the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Brother Willis speaks 15 languages. When Brother Willis became converted, Life magazine carried the article and story of his miraculous conversion from a wheelchair that he had been in for 5 years. In our meetings at the Philadelphia Hotel, downtown Philadelphia, Brother Willis came to our meetings many different times, and he invited my wife and I to come to the Temple of Prayer that he and Sister Dabney, I guess that was his wife, were in charge of. We went with Reverend Willis in his car to the Garden of Prayer and had special prayer in the new building that the Lord had supplied for them. 4 years later, Sister Dabney, like Anna the prophetess, had prayed and fasted. Tremendous results were accomplished by these tremendous and continued intercessions before the Lord. And when he was driving us to the intercession chapel, he told us how just recently Lucille Ball just received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, how Joan Crawford, Loretta Young, and many others were being filled with the Holy Spirit. These were Broadway and Hollywood stars that he had known personally. So this was back in 1965 or 67 or somewhere along in there. I remember Jimmy Willis on TV watching him in that Amos and Andy episode that they used to have on TV. I never knew that the man spoke five languages at the time. And then he got some kind of disease. I forget what it was, and was in a wheelchair for 5 years, but the Lord, through his power and anointing, brought him out of that thing. And that's what, you know, he's no respecter of persons. This fasting with prayer gives power. And it also renews your faith, too. Along with praying in the Spirit, that will up your faith as well. The praying in the Spirit in your prayer closet, as like John G. Lake said, is power from on God for yourself. It's edifying to your spirit. And it builds faith up in your spirit when you do that. Fasting does the same thing because you're getting rid of flesh and allowing the spirit to come out. Praise God. All right, I'm going to stop here and see if anybody else has any comments. Oh, come on now. Some testimonies about fasting and praying and what God's done for you.
Michael?
Hey.
This is Gaynold. I just wanted to thank you for bringing up this topic on witchcraft. I hadn't really thought of it, but I guess I've been experiencing, and I'm sure that's what it has been, but on Saturday night, it was just extremely bad. And I just had, it was like so somebody was stabbing me with a knife just all over my legs and my hip and my shoulder, and I wanted to sleep, and it's like, oh, it just was getting to me, and I finally thought, oh, I'm just going to get up and take something. I just can't take this. And then I got up, and I sat down in the bathroom for a while, and I just was just going to sit there and be still and pray, and I had such confusion over me, and I remember even saying, Lord, I just don't even know how to pray for this. And I really believe now that it was probably witchcraft. And the only thing I can remember that I actually did pray, I just asked the Lord to send his ministering angels, because I had cast down the things that, you know, like pain and that type of thing, and spoke healing, but it just continued, and it was just relentless. I just can't remember when I've had it quite like that, but Saturday night, it was just extreme. And so I just really appreciate you bringing this topic up, because I'm thinking now that that is what it was, because there was other days when I just had extreme fatigue. It's just like, I just can't even stand to be up. I'm just so weary. And I don't know. I just thank you for it. I believe now I know what I'm praying, what I need to pray, you know, for.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I thank you for that.
Well, yeah, you know, it's interesting. This morning when I got up, man, I couldn't focus. I couldn't focus on anything. I had trouble focusing in the Word. I couldn't keep my mind focused on what I was wanting to do. So later on, I went downstairs and I said, David, let's pray. Pray with me. Believe with me. And we prayed that thing away, and I believe that was witchcraft as well. And we prayed it away, of course, and then I was okay. But it's an attack. It's an all-out attack from the enemy on God's people. And so we get up in the morning, and the first thing we do is put on God's armor and pray against these things for the day, for yourself, for your family, and for all of UBM and the bride all across the world. Somebody else have something they'd like to say?
Yeah, Michael, I just add to what my wife said there. We've had some people from the Faxus group contacting us lately, trying to make contact with us, and we just ignored them, but I almost suspect now maybe that's where some of that came from.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I believe it is, Galen. I think we're under attack, and but we all know who wins. God wins. God is teaching us, and he's teaching us to be strong and learning how to do this spiritual warfare that he's called us to do, because it's going to be needed in the days ahead, big time. And we're going to have to know when the enemy strikes and what it's about. And another thing, we have to ask God, God, what is this that's happening to me? And he'll show you in your word. If you ask and you believe, he's going to show you. And when he shows you, then guess what's happened? We ask that all the time. Lord, keep us informed of these attacks before they happen so we can pray them down. And he does. He's very faithful in doing that. Praise God. Okay, hey, anybody else? Yeah.
I wanted to throw my 2 cents worth in there too, I guess. When I heard Chad's testimony, for the last couple of weeks or so, I've been going through just old memories, old things back in my past and whatever that just would be bombarding my thoughts. And I thought maybe it was, that I was sinning or I was doing something wrong. And so I've heard you guys talk a lot about the witches and the warfare. And I guess in my mind I thought I was okay, but none of us are okay as far as, the enemy like that attacking. And so I just want to give the enemy a black eye, too, and not keep silent like Sandy said. We're all a part of the same body, and God is trying to clean us up and bring us into one mind and one accord. And so I just want to get in there too you know, praise the Lord for just us opening up and being honest, you know. That's what God's wanting from all of us, is not to have any kind of, I don't know how to say it either, but I just want to praise the Lord that he put it in my heart. I don't speak up maybe as often as I should, but I'm not glad that other brothers and sisters are going through what I've felt like I was going through too, but I just want to say that I'm glad that somebody, you know, will speak up and say something, because, you know, if you keep your mouth shut, you're really on the devil's side. You're letting him win. So anyway, that's my 2 cents worth. Thank you, Jesus.
Michael?
Yes?
I'd like to add one more thing.
Okay.
That dream that the Lord gave me about that kind of like that President Obama lookalike guy that was in a trance. First he said, for me to stop speaking perfectly. And then he tried to pick me up. And then I told him to put me down. And then I told him to go backwards. So I think this is where the Lord is weeding us out right now. And those that are not speaking the word accurately and letting their yes be yes, they're getting opened up to variables. They are looking to the left or the right. They're adding ands, ifs, or buts, and they're not, their sword isn't as sharp as it has to be. Because if your sword isn't sharp and you're not speaking the word as it is, stop qualifying or disqualifying yourself according to who you perceive yourself to be. You're not even a part of the equation anymore. Your image is Christ. You live in absolution. You speak in absolution. You live your life by faith in Jesus' name. You're living your life through him and what he did on the cross. So you really got to line your image up perfect. It's got to be word perfect, because anything else other than word perfect, and Father, my food is to do thy will and entering into the rest, you're not going to be able to stand. This thing is just too strong. That's coming against the body. You know, before the Lord had me going into word perfect, I kept feeling like my loins giving out. They were burning, and then they were just like, oh, you know. And I would say, you know, okay, scripture reference, because I'm a word made flesh. We all are, you know. And let your loins be girded about with the truth. So I knew the Lord was perfecting his word in me. As soon as I started to, you know, really sharpen my sword in my speech, then that whole thing went away. I think that right now we're going to be looking at some very strong things, really strong manifestations. So you better be sure when you're revealed that you are found waiting patiently for, you know, the Lord to be pouring out on you, and found perfectly resting in word perfect. Because you don't want to get caught off guard in instability or double-mindedness or, you know, whatever. So it's a good meeting tonight. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. What did Obama say to you?
He said, stop speaking like word perfect. Stop speaking the word perfectly, because, you know, and then when you mix it with fasting, and that's why I said, even if you are doing like a fruits and vegetables, you know, you're feeling, your soul's feeling it. And you start saying, my food is to do thy will in all things, and get your word perfect and in absolution. Get some fasting, even if it's just intermediate or intermittent fasting throughout the week.
Yep.
And wow, you're going to start to get in the game. You know, you're going to actually be in the battle. You're going to be a part of it, and you're going to notice you're going to start to be fitly joined together with those in this army. You know, because the Lord is raising up an army. I was there's a new church opened up around the corner called Ezekiel 37. And the Lord's been speaking to me about those dry bones. And when I went in that night, I checked it out last week. And the first word the Holy Spirit said in intercession, he said, pray for revival here. So that's exactly what I sit in the back and do. I just sit there and I thank the Lord. And when I pray, I don't say, well, thank you, Lord, for doing it. You know, I say, absolutely. Thank you, Lord, for revival here. Thank you that we're more than conquerors. You know, you want to just really get militant about your prayers and speak absolutely to the devil. No, it's this way. I'm going to tell you what you look like. You're not putting your food on my plate, and I ain't eating that. I'm gonna eat whatsoever thing is pure, lovely, and beautiful, and of a good report. And you're going to have to, you know, do what I say from now on.
So, amen.
I believe that's what we're going to have to do to survive. If you're not going to do that, then you're going to have to go through some pain. And I'd rather not have to go through that. Okay.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Well, we're about out of we are out of time. Does anybody have any prayer requests before we get off? Okay. Thank you, Liana. That was good. Also, she brought up another topic there that's, gosh, what was it, that we ought to be thinking about is, well, I can't remember. Anyway, Lord, I just thank you for tonight's conference call. I thank you for all the testimonies about fasting and witchcraft. And Lord, we know we're under attack, but we know who wins. And we praise you for that, Lord. We stand firm in our faith that you're going to take care of this for us. We stand firm in our prayers of faith against this enemy, Lord. And we praise you, Father, that you've already sent your angels out there to thwart this attack from the enemy in the name of Jesus. And Father, teach us more about this spiritual warfare. Teach us all we need to know, Father, about spiritual warfare, how to put on this armor of God and to utilize it in the best, most effective way, Lord. And I praise you for that in Jesus' name. I thank you, Lord, that everybody here is under the blood and they're going to pray and they're going to fast and they're going to see the glories of God in the next little bit. We're going to be walking, Lord. We're going to be walking with you down that dirt road. And I praise you, Father, for that. In Jesus' name. Good night, everybody, and God bless.